Good morning, everybody. It's August 11th, 2021. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and I've got our friends from the STEM Careers Coalition over at Discovery Education with us today. My good buddy Marla Wilson is here, and this time she has brought with her Rebecca Winkle of the American Petroleum Institute. And you know what they say about that place? Oil's well that ends well. Sorry, I don't have them on. I know they're laughing. Okay, but we're going to find out what the American Petroleum Institute does and then all the resources that they have for K-12 STEM careers, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Okay, and there are so many of them out there. So give a good listen here and use these resources as we go along. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org with a new issue of our magazine, Equity and Access. It's our online journals over there. That's our consortium for equity. Join with us. Everything we do over there is free. I know you'll love the magazine if you go over and check it out. We're the only ones focusing on equity and access. But we have a ton of information. All of our podcasts are over there, like this one will be again at ace-ed.org, and I hope you take a minute and check all that out. All right, let's see if Marla actually laughed at my joke, and we'll include Rebecca in that. It's spinning here. There we go. Marla, oil's well that ends well.
I literally did laugh. That was a good one. That was a really good one, Larry. Thank you so much for having us on the show this morning. It's a pleasure to always speak with you first thing in the morning.
There you go, trying to make your day bright and cheery. Hi, Rebecca. I'm Larry. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much, Larry. Good morning. You know, I've worked in the oil and natural gas industry for almost 10 years, and I have never heard of oil's well that ends well,
oh,
but
no.
I love it.
That can't be true. That can't, you have to put that on your card. I mean, really, you have to do that. Right, you're going to disappoint me if you tell me you're not in either Texas or Louisiana. Where are you?
You know, I am actually based out of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, geez, that's no oil there. You got to get out of there. Go to Texas. Go to Louisiana. Right?
Texas,
Alaska.
And Louisiana
Alaska.
Are, yes, they are great. Yes, Alaska, too. Yep, there's resources all over this country.
There certainly are. And so is American Petroleum Institute in Salt Lake?
So the American Petroleum Institute is actually based in Washington, D.C. We are the trade association, for the natural gas and oil industry. So
Got it. Okay. We
aren't an organization that produces anything or refines, but represents all of those companies.
Wow, that's a huge business, as we're going to learn as we go through here. Marla, tell everybody just your Discovery Education, their wonderful STEM Careers Coalition. Tell everybody, because not everybody listens to every show, although you've been on so many times, tell everybody what the STEM Careers Coalition does.
Well, Larry, thank you. Basically, Rebecca, with our American Petroleum Institute partner, is one of our anchor partners that really got the STEM Careers Coalition, launched about almost 2 years ago.
Wow.
And
nice.
So with that, several corporate partners have joined American Petroleum Institute in that time to really work towards diversifying and filling a future workforce pipeline of STEM professionals. And by doing so, we are creating content, if you will, that's relatable to students of color and girls so that they begin to, I'd like to say, be more fascinated with STEM careers and see themselves in STEM. All while these companies have made a great investment to support educators to increase STEM literacy around careers and understanding that STEM is much more broader than being in, you know, a lab with a white lab coat and a beaker. But, you know, there are folks that are working in STEM every day, particularly in the oil and gas industry. And so we're very proud to have a hairy, audacious goal, if you will, to reach 10 million students and 5,000 educators over 5 years, and we are well on our way to not only meeting but exceeding that goal. So very proud to be working.
Who, who's the executive director that's actually making all this happen? Do you know her?
Yeah, I do. I do. I interact with her quite often, and so that would be me that they have chosen to lead this.
Marla's my buddy,
initiative.
Everybody. So You know, you said something a minute ago. I'm going to get back to Rebecca in a second, but you said something a minute ago. I just want you to explain it. You used the words to create a teacher workforce, and I don't know. I just want to get clear what you meant when you said that, because I know. The STEM Careers Coalition is working to get students involved in certainly thinking about hopefully doing STEM careers, but doing a teacher workforce in terms of like science teachers, or maybe you didn't mean that. I'm just curious about that. It just struck me.
Oh, no. So, yes, you may have misunderstood or I may have said that incorrectly, but that's a good point, Larry. So these conversations, they're highly organic, and I love it. I was just talking to a large group of teachers in Pinellas County last week, and one of them came up to me after, the event and said, well, are we concerned with making sure that there are students who are interested in education? Because what happens when we leave, who's going to teach STEM? And that was an aha moment for me. So it's funny you mentioned that. But just to add a little context to it, what we're doing is, one, we're increasing STEM literacy in educators because, of course, they're delivering this very important and critical content. But then we're also filling a pipeline of students, if you will, who will begin to filtrate into STEM careers, right? So that, there are a number of jobs that, are in threat of not having enough people to match up to them. And also, there are jobs that don't even exist that are STEM related where we need to have this very robust, inclusive pipeline of people. But to your point, another part of that is that we get students more interested in STEM and starting to understand that they're solving problems every day and natural solution seekers, I strongly believe that we will also begin to educate students so that they become interested in being educators as well to help continue to fill that pipeline.
And, as important as all the STEM careers are, and believe me, I know they are, I always kid that at a career fair at any given high school, they never have a teacher booth.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to be a scientist, a petroleum engineer, a veterinarian, whatever the case may be, fire chief. Okay, they never have a teacher. Okay, to point kids towards a career in education. So when you said that, I jumped on it because I know you guys. The minute you hear something like that, you start to think about it, and it starts to make the gears move and all that sort of thing. So I'm actually so glad you said that, and glad I followed up on it. Okay, Rebecca, thank you, Marla, my buddy. Rebecca, my new buddy out in Salt Lake, and thank you for getting up so early. What is it, 7 o'clock there?
It is, yes.
So actually, it's 9 minutes after 7, but who's counting? Okay, thank you for getting up so early to do this. Okay, I appreciate it. The AAPI, okay, is the lobby, if I may, for the petroleum industry, right? Correct?
Yes, that's okay. Right. Yeah, our mission at API is to promote safety across the industry globally. So we actually have a global presence with our standards. We're a standard-setting body. And also to influence public policy in support of a strong domestic natural gas and oil industry.
Hear, hear. And I'm going to follow up on what I asked Marla a minute ago. Obviously, we need people, okay, in the industry who can do this. But does the API, this just came up, does the API also promote education? Now, education's always begging for money, okay, and it's the government who gives the money. Okay, but in order to have a solid STEM workforce in the future, we're going to talk about all your wonderful resources, we need teachers to teach these kids and move them in that direction. Okay, I'm just curious, is API, what's their stand on education? Help me out.
Yeah,
I bet it's a good one.
It's a great question. One of the great things that I get to do at API is lead much of our research and our program development around workforce and education and training and career pathways. and a lot of the work that we do with our strategic allies, so veterans and women and BIPOC communities and labor unions. And the thing about all of that is that when we talk to adults and we think about our current workforce, obviously that's all really important. But we also are, just as you were talking about thinking about the future teachers, we are thinking about the future workforce needs that we have in the industry.
Exactly.
And how we're going to fill all of those needs. In fact, we have a study that came out from IHS last summer that looked at job opportunities through 2040 in the oil and natural gas industries and projected nearly 2 million opportunities would be available over these two decades.
Wow.
Well, that's a lot of jobs, right? That's a lot of jobs.
I would
across
say.
All different kinds of occupation types across all across the country, all across education levels, up and down different education levels. And in order to prepare the future workforce to take on those jobs, we have to be in classrooms today to help connect the dots. You know, one of the things that I think is really significant about the STEM Careers Coalition is its very intentional focus on that career connection. There are a lot of good organizations out there that are doing STEM work, but it's often disconnected from the real life application of where we use those STEM skills. And so for us, it's not so much, and it's we care about STEM generally, but specifically, we really care about it less as a theoretical exercise, right? Teaching students about STEM or helping teachers teach STEM. We care about how what they're learning in the classroom becomes foundational and inspirational for what they become and how they contribute to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't do that unless they see those career connections really explicitly laid out. I have a five-year-old daughter, and a couple of years ago, so she was about three, at the launch of the STEM Careers Coalition, we had an astronaut there with us.
Ooh.
And when I came home from that event and I told my daughter, oh, and I was on this panel and there was an astronaut there. Well, do you know what she wanted to be for the next month? She wanted to be an astronaut. And then we visited the local fire station and, you know, and met our local firefighters. And when she got home, you know what she wanted to be for the next month? A firefighter.
Not an astronaut anymore.
Because
Not
an astronaut anymore. Now she had seen a firefighter. Well, it's the same idea with our STEM Careers Coalition. A lot of people, when they think about oil and natural gas, they think, well, if I don't want to work on a rig or if I don't want to work in a lab with a lab coat, right, then that's not an industry for me. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. And so we are hoping to really showcase the breadth of talent and opportunity that we have in the oil and gas industry. As you said, oil and gas and energy right now, I mean, it's always been critical, and especially now as we look at the global challenges that we face in terms of meeting growing energy demand and fueling economic growth and creating a more sustainable future. And we are right at the heart of that, and it's an exciting time to be part of the industry.
I agree with you, and the other thing I agree with is this. In schools are always strapped for money, but what schools have to do, K-12 education, is prepare a workforce, okay? And industry, that's what and good citizenship are the two jobs of K-12 education. You know, you have to be literate to be a good citizen and do a good job, but that all works together, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And my point is when schools are strapped, it's extremely important, and you just articulated this, that industries understand that without good schools, they're not going to have a future workforce. So it's incredibly important for industry to constantly back up education. If they don't they're cutting off their nose to spite their face, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
Schools can't do it alone these days, especially rural, you know, schools in little tiny communities. Okay, they need industry's help, and that's what you guys are doing, and that's what you just articulated. And I'm mm-hmm. on a 100% same wavelength on that regard. I want to ask you something else. You brought up something interesting, Martha. Can I just continue with Rebecca? Is that okay?
Oh, I would love that. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. No problem, because I've got stuff for you, too, but I'm going to concentrate on Rebecca here. I was watching Jeopardy last night, okay, and again, today is Wednesday, the 11th of August, and one of the categories was about the International Space Station. It was a female astronaut who gave all the clues, and they've been doing that a lot. Like, they did a thing on chemistry. They had a black female chemist from Procter & Gamble, that sort of thing, okay? They're really trying to push women in STEM, okay? But there's, I don't know how to ask this question, I'm just going to ask you, there's a lot going on with STEM and industry, okay? New York Times did an article about this just last week, I think, and diversity, equity, and inclusion, the old, the JEDI, Justice, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, JEDI. And how's the Petroleum Institute? And I know you guys are aware of this again, but please, Rebecca, as you just did a minute ago, articulate it, okay, so that we can understand how important this is to you folks, diversity, equity, inclusion.
Yes, absolutely. That's a great question and a timely question and an important one. So I'm glad that you asked that. Everything that we do at API is really through a diversity, equity, and inclusion lens, particularly this work in education and workforce development.
Great.
A dear friend of mine said a couple of years ago as we've been working on this, and we've been at API, I've been with API since 2012, and that is the year that we released our first, it's been a long time, and it's the first year, or that year was when we released our first study looking at employment opportunities in the industry and looking specifically at employment opportunities for African American and Hispanics. And that study, alongside the rollout of that study, we created a group called, at the time it was called the Energy Research Collaborative. It's now the Energy Action Alliance. But a group of outside community-based organizations like the American Association of Blacks in Energy and Hispanics in Energy. And so what we do is we get this group together and we meet about quarterly and we talk about issues facing the industry and how we can be a better community partner, how we can better provide education and job opportunities and business opportunities to these groups, and what kind of things we're missing and what we need to be thinking about. And that's really important because when you think about it from a business perspective as a business case, we need all different kinds of people and ideas and experiences and talents. And it is impossible, it will be impossible to continue to innovate and tackle these great challenges that the world faces that we as an industry are committed to without an increasingly diverse workforce. Mm-hmm. And we understand that. We see that very clearly. And that starts all the way back down in these K through 12 grades, because we know from the research that women, that people of color, they make up their minds about career tracks, about industries, much before they get to their post-secondary years. And so we need to have that specific focus on supporting underserved and, to your earlier point, under-resourced students and schools and underrepresented groups, women and, or you know, when we're talking about them as children, girls, and BIPOC students, that they're able to see themselves in this industry so that they know that there's a place for them here. And part of that is showcasing all of the wonderful men and women that we have currently in the industry that look like those students and helping them see themselves here. And so that's one of the things that we try very hard to be with the STEM Careers Coalition, intentional about that focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Thank you. That was a great answer. Okay, so let me swing back to Marla. Marla, Rebecca says all that. I know they're very active in all this. As Executive Director of STEM Careers Coalition, and again, that's part of Discovery Education, okay, so we know they know what they're doing, okay, how do you get all the things that Marla just said, diversity, equity, inclusion, plus all the resources necessary to just be a STEM person, okay? How do you, as executive director or the coalition itself, move this into schools? Marla.
Sure. Well, with Discovery Education, we have a exceptionally large network of educators that we're connected to. So, in our regular cadence of communication with those educators, we're able to really share the resources that are available to them that have been designed through the STEM Careers Coalition that illustrate the very thing that Rebecca talked about, and that is, diverse images in these STEM careers. And then also, too, the diversification of STEM positions and skill sets. And then secondarily, the STEM Careers Coalition also has a component to the initiative where they are directly partnering with schools across the nation and in Canada. And by doing so, they're providing equitable access to these resources. And so in that effort, we're able to really cultivate and steward a very close relationship with these districts in order to, further expand reach from these companies to support them in their educational endeavors through resources, particularly in some cases, career days where we can actually bring those current professionals and connect them with our future professionals. So those are some of the ways that we're making critical connections to ensure that, this content is in the hands of educators and students on a daily basis.
And it has to be, and it has to be wrapped up into everything else they're doing. And Marla, you're the education side of this. At what grade, I have two questions, at what grade level do we really begin to talk to kids about this? Okay, that's a key question because we think it's high school because, now they're thinking about what they're going to do when they get out, but really it has to be ingrained, and we all know this, beforehand. So I'm just curious where the resources lie. And you brought up something that just struck me as you were talking. When resources are created to help kids get into energy jobs, okay, are those resources created? I'll ask you, Marla, then if Rebecca wants to talk, she can. Are they created from API, or are they API info developed and changed through the education experts at Discovery? I was just curious about that. Where the resources come from?
No,
how are they engineered? Yeah.
That's a great question, Larry. I'm happy to answer that. So first and foremost, we really are working with students K through 12. So our little ones in elementary school, it's a great entry point to begin to familiarize them with STEM and, what some of the problems that they're looking at and trying to solve in their minds on a daily basis around them. And so, it can be that elementary as we graduate all the way through middle school and then high school where we're helping students really start looking at their post-secondary options when it comes to education and careers. And then in terms of, how these resources are created, we work very closely with our partners, particularly in this case with API, where there's a real collaborative approach to have industry influence content. So we have our content development team who has, a very extensive background in STEM itself. And so bringing the STEM careers piece to it is what we do with our partners so that we can really have relevant information to, begin to develop the content that we're delivering to the classroom.
It's so darn important. And Rebecca, let me throw it to you, okay? Because you haven't been in the STEM coalition that long, but you've been working in education for longer with API. The resources, how have they developed better and better, okay, with the help of Discovery, if I may ask that question? Because I know you at Discovery, great as they are in education, are not the world's leading experts on energy and gas. Okay, that's when they turn to you.
That's exactly right.
Put the two minds together. Go ahead.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so, that taking a step back even from that question, I will just say that's true across all of the industry partners in the coalition who I have the pleasure, Marla and I both have the pleasure of working with, that we are experts in our industries, but we're not experts in education. And this coming together aspect of the coalition is really critical, where we bring industry and in a leading education provider together to make this happen. And so for us, it's a very, like Marla said, it's a very collaborative approach. We've created, I don't have the right exact number on me, but a lot of content pieces that are available on the website, probably close to 50. And it's that's through both career profiles and student activity sheets and lessons, classroom activities, and digital lesson bundles that teachers can use. This is free content that's available on the STEM Careers Coalition site that anybody can access. And as we go through the curriculum development process or the resource development process, we sit down and talk together first. What are the kinds of things that are basic to the types of job opportunities that we expect to have? Because again, we're real career focused here.
Yep.
And so what are the things that we want to highlight and showcase from an industry perspective? Basics about the oil and natural gas industry, like how and where is oil found? Or how do you have combustion reactions that play a role in how we obtain and refine fossil fuels to use the products that we use every day when we're driving in the car, when we turn on the lights, when we have a hot shower, right? And so we sit down and talk about those things. What are the things that we want to showcase? And then Discovery Education really takes it, and their fabulous curriculum team is the expert on the education side. And so they know how to talk to students, and they align it to standards. So these are all standards aligned, make it easy for teachers to use and to insert into their classrooms. And it's really important. One of the things that's so important for us is that we're showcasing kind of the basics of the industry. And also, I had mentioned before the broad array of career paths, and we just
absolutely. We
can't overlook the importance of preparing students for and providing visibility to all kinds of career paths, including those in the skilled trades and that utilize community and technical colleges, and that associate's degree space. And so careers that are highlighting everything from truck drivers to maintenance technicians to petroleum engineers all matter, and we're very intentional as we do the content development to be able to be sure that we're showcasing all of the breadth of opportunity.
Right. Thank you. That was great. Again, I want to ask you a question, and this one, I don't. This is not meant to put you on the spot or anything like that, but you certainly are aware of this. Okay, if I may, the greenness. Okay. Of American petroleum, of petroleum and fossil fuels these days, okay? And you guys are certainly aware of that. Now, we always need an oil and gas industry. I'm 100% behind that, and I'm the first guy to fill up my cars with gas. So I'm not going off on that kind of a tangent, okay? But there is a big part of American culture these days, okay? It's very concerned about fossil fuels, yet we still need all the fossil fuels. I want to phrase this correctly. I hope I am. So my point is, as you approach these resources and teachers and all that, do you take that topic into consideration? I'm just curious. And I can't believe you don't. I can't believe you don't, but I wanted to ask it that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think as we think about sustainability, and, you know, sustainability – the UN, with their sustainable development goals, which a lot of Discovery Education's resources are based on and we are very aware of, and many of our standards that I talked about earlier align to the UN sustainable development goals. The UN defines three dimensions of sustainable development, and they are economic, social, and environmental. And so a second ago, we were talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
Well, that's an important piece of a sustainable society and a sustainable world. And the environmental piece is incredibly important as well. Sustainability really is about our children and our grandchildren and the world that we will leave to them. And so We at API and the member companies that we represent have been taking a very close look at that and how we can respond to the need to become increasingly sustainable and mm-hmm. clean in our operations and in our production and in the products that we produce. And so API came out with an API climate framework, and that framework is really meant to help achieve meaningful emissions reductions that meet the climate challenge. And the reality is that it takes a combination of policies and innovation and industry initiatives and partnerships between government and economic sectors. It's an issue that's so large that no single approach can achieve it. And so, like you said, and I believe this too, we're going to need oil and natural gas for a long time. And so the question is, how do we continue to produce it more cleanly, more sustainably, more responsibly? And I really see these students that we are helping to support STEM skills in today bringing that innovation and that innovative spirit with them to help us continue to become better at this tomorrow as we try and accelerate technology and innovation and advance cleaner fuels and drive climate reporting. And so all of those pieces are really important, especially as we talk to students and help kind of invigorate them as to what kinds of things they can do in the future.
Right, and actually the person who's going to solve all these challenges is probably in fifth grade right now. I hope their teachers
listen. That's right.
You know, it's
yes,
true.
Yes, that's exactly right.
It's true. You know, and you know, we've been up against the wall with this, and we have to realize it's part of everything we do, and we're gonna make it all better. And I just wanted to hear you. I knew you were going to answer that way, but I just wanted to hear you articulate it, which you did beautifully. Okay, and by the way, I was thinking as we were doing this show, your 5-year-old daughter?
Yes.
Okay, I think I have a job future for her as a fire chief on the space station, which solves both problems.
You know, I love that. I'm going to tell her, and that's going to be now what she wants to be for the next month.
Fire chief on the space station. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, and I'm sure she'll be fine, okay? Right up there with a little hat on that says chief, you know, that sort of thing. Okay?
She'll love it.
Good. Mention my name to Jeff Bezos when you get a $10 discount on the ride. Okay? Right. Marla, hearing all that, your thoughts on all this as we wind down, okay? And you can be, and Marla, you can be assistant fire chief if you want to. I'll arrange that for Rebecca's daughter. Yeah, great.
Oh, wow, Larry, that's a hard one to follow. I'll try. Well, you know, what I would like to say is that, you know, as we have continued to evolve with the STEM Careers Coalition, you know, Rebecca made a mention of the resources that we've created with API. And, I mean, again, that really helped to build and establish the infrastructure of the site. And so now with, close to 50, as Rebecca stated, those resources that are particularly related to oil and gas to help students understand the importance of, you know, petroleum, et cetera, and kind of where things come from and how things are made are very exciting. And so it is a big part of what we do to add to over 200 resources that live on the STEMCareersCoalition.org site. One thing that we've done as of late is we begin to curate collections to make it even easier for students and educators to navigate the site so that we can particularly look at, you know, times throughout the year where there are things that students are particularly studying. And so what we have coming up soon would be Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're partnering very closely with API in this space along with other partners. And then, of course, we have Manufacturing Day quickly approaching in October.
We have a show right before that. We have a show scheduled right before that. We do.
We do.
Yeah.
And I sincerely appreciate that because it'll give us an opportunity to really kind of dive into modern manufacturing and, you know, Hispanics and leadership, particularly in STEM. And so these collections on the site we'll, you know, just kind of pull out those resources that are specifically geared towards looking at Hispanic leaders in STEM, modern manufacturing, et cetera. And so we're very excited about how we're continuing to evolve on the site to make navigating and reaching resources a lot easier for educators who have a world of things on their shoulder when it comes to their instructional time with students. And so I really appreciate you having us on the show today and then continually. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's my pleasure, and we have to leave now. And I'm going to leave you with different words today, Marla and Rebecca, especially with the end of the show. Oil's well that ends well, and this ended well.
We're going to put that on the site somewhere, Larry.
Please. Put it on your card. Put it on your card, Rebecca. That's all I have to say. All right. Hey, both of you, thanks a million. Rebecca, thanks for getting up so early. I appreciate that. You were really terrific on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Larry. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And Marla, we'll talk again soon, my friend. Both of you have a great rest of summer. By the way, I have to ask you, Rebecca, are you getting any of that smoke from the fires in Salt Lake? I live in Maine. I'm far from it. Yeah.
Yes, we have. It was my kids and I were out on a hike the other morning, and the smoke just rolled in, and it has been sitting heavy here in Salt Lake. It's just yesterday and today starting to clear up, and as I thought about how annoying it was to have the smoke, I then quickly thought, well, that's not a good attitude, because how I feel for those in California and on the West Coast where it's all coming from, right? And so it just is, it's tragic.
It is.
So,
it's tragic all around.
The real life implications. Yep. It's just
terrible. So breathe carefully out there. Besides breathe carefully out there, okay?
Thank you too
in Florida, Marla. Breathe carefully.
Thank you, Larry, and I'll talk to you very soon.
You will indeed, both of you. Thanks a million. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay. API, it's api.org. Rebecca's one of the economic advisors there. But Marla Wilson is the executive director over at the STEM Careers Coalition at Discovery, and that website is stemcareerscoalition.org, obviously, okay? And this show is going to be archived at ace-ed.org, which is our website, our magazines over there, et cetera. My name's Larry Jacobs. Go over there, see what we do, and thanks a million, ladies. Thanks to all of you for listening. Have a good day.